This is Philip Bracey for Young State. This is Philip Bracey for Young State University's oral history program concerning the shutdown of Youngstown Sheet and Tube and the subsequent organizations that evolved. This morning I'm interviewing Mr. William DeChico, who's head of the Castle Project. Mr. DeChico, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, some biographical background?
Okay, well, I'm born and raised in Youngstown. Formal education is a bachelor's degree from Denison University, Granville, Ohio. Master's degree in geography with from Kent State University, Kent, Ohio. For the past 16 years or so, I've been involved with various forms of urban and economic development. Initially, while completing my graduate studies, I worked a year with the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission in Akron, Ohio. Then I was employed by City Planning Associates as manager of their Youngstown office for 7 years, from 1966 to 1973. From 1973 to the tail end of 1979, I was employed as the chief planner with Eastgate Development and Transportation Agency in Youngstown, and from January 9th, 1980 to the present, I've been employed as executive director with the Castle Community Improvement Corporation.
Could you tell me about the formation and founding of Castle, what brought it on, and how it got started?
Well, Castle was formed, it was pretty much as a result of an effort to revitalize the five Castle communities that were severely impacted with the closing of the Youngstown Sheet and Tubes Campbell Works in September of 1977. There was approximately 4,200 jobs lost at that time, and although it had a great impact all over the entire Mahoning Valley, the impact was most severe in these communities that make up the eastern sector, or what we call the Castle communities, named after Campbell, Struthers, and Lowellville. And something had to be done to restore jobs, eliminate the unemployment problems and all the things associated with it. So a group of public and private representatives serving these communities joined forces and in approximately March 1978 did organize Castle for the express purpose of promoting, advancing, encouraging economic, industrial, and community development in the communities of Campbell, Struthers, and Lowellville, and in the two adjacent townships of Pullen and Coitsville.
Are you familiar with the role that Governor Rhodes played in trying to help the communities? Was he involved in all in other
Well, ways? Governor Rhodes was instrumentally involved with the creation of Castle and with providing it with funds to enable it to begin some of its important activities. I should point out that it was primarily through the efforts of Governor Rhodes and State Senator Harry Michel. It was truly a nonpartisan effort by through their leadership. They approached the State of Ohio Controlling Board, requested considerable amount of funds to enable Castle to purchase the former Struthers Works of Youngstown Sheet Tube and develop it into a first-class industrial park. Not only did they provide the state controlling board grant apply provide for the funds to acquire the facility, it did earmark some funds for the future development of the facility.
Okay. Was the foundation brought on by, there seems to be a kind of question mark as far as like who initiated, did the mayors of the respective communities approach Governor Rhodes and to kind of get funding and see what was available, or was it kind of an initiative from the governor that led to the formation of Castle?
Well, that's difficult for me to answer because it was two years before my time, but as I understand that a group of, again, local officials, together with some of the leading businessmen in the community, tried to call upon, you know, our governmental officials is the need for attention in this area, and I think almost simultaneously they realized something had to be done here, especially, you know, with the closing of the Campbell Works. I think the records will show that out of the 4,200 people that lost their jobs, something like 600 or 700 of those people actually resided in the city of Campbell, and lesser amounts in some of the surrounding communities, but a significant percentage nonetheless. So it was sort of a mutual thing. I think the high state officials realized that, you know, they had to provide some assistance to this area, and you know, simultaneously the local leaders going to their state and even federal officials to try to find some sort of assistance to help them with their dilemma.
Okay. I, again, and some of these questions I realized were before your time, so I...
That's all right.
Originally, there was an aid, one of Governor Rhodes' aides, that would help. I don't know if they helped financially put the package together, or they were just assigned to help the communities. Or
you're probably speaking of George Wilson, I would imagine.
Yeah.
George Wilson is still associated with CASTLO. He has been associated with CASTLO from its inception. Just briefly, some background on George. He was the state of Ohio's first director of the Department of Economic, or what has now evolved into the Department of Economic and Community Development. And Governor Rhodes worked with him for a number of years, but was very impressed by his qualifications and credentials, and felt that he could be a key individual in helping turn things around in this valley. And at the suggestion of Governor Rhodes, Mr. Wilson was placed in this area, and was very instrumental in organizing CASTLO, assisting from the outset, not only with, you know, the organizational matters in terms of the articles of incorporation and drafting a code of regulations and things of this sort, but not only that, but identifying some of the major goals and objectives and setting up a program to try to implement those goals and objectives.
Okay. Could you elaborate on the goals of the organization?
Well, I had indicated the purpose a little bit earlier to try to advance and promote economic and industrial development, but I suppose to put that in more simple terms,
okay, maybe I should.
What we're trying to do is to retain as many of the existing jobs as we can through various retention programs, but probably more important than that, to enable existing firms to expand or find new companies that might come into the area that create new job opportunities to make up for those tremendous amount of jobs that have been lost over the last few years.
What I guess I was getting at was, in order for CASTLO to operate, they've set up a community improvement corporation?
That's correct.
Okay. To get started, like the money's, does that operate like on the county CIC where the banks help finance it, or is this, what's the source of funding, I guess I'm trying to get at?
Well,
a revolving loan, or?
Okay, right now, well, let's go all the way back to the beginning. CASTLO started with no funds whatsoever. That is, first of all, I should probably clarify that there's two CASTLOs. Most people aren't aware of that. There's a CASTLO project, which is financed by the state of Ohio, and then there's the CASTLO Community Improvement Corporation. Now, when the CASTLO project, the state CASTLO, was formed, it was anticipated that it would take some time for the Community Improvement Corporation to become economically self-sufficient. So the CASTLO project was essentially the state setting up an office here. This is actually an office of the Ohio Department of Economic and Community Development. They have provided this office with an administrative assistant to help the Community Improvement Corporation become established. Now, in the meantime, The Castle Community and Karoom Corporation, like I said, was organized in March of 1978, and initially the Lowellville Businessmen's Association, feeling that it had an important purpose, donated $100. And that's all we had to work with for some period of time. The Castle was essentially a board of trustees, a group of, that time, 15 individuals that were very much committed to furthering economic development in the community. And as a result, many of the programs were initiated and activities took place as a result of volunteer effort. But as time went on, the Economic Development Administration, of course, funded the regional two-county body, which is the Mahoning Valley Economic Development Corporation, but they felt that special attention had to be given to the Castle community. So a small portion of their budget, at least through the end of 1982, is earmarked to Castle. Also, we thought in order to help us establish programs to turn the area around, we had to know a little bit, well, what was our problem, what were our assets, what were our disadvantages, things of this sort. So as a result of the Community Improvement Corporation Board of Trustees making a presentation to the Federal Regional Council approximately 2.5-3 years ago, we were able to find some funds from the U.S. Civil Service Commission to try to enable us to collect data about the communities that we could use in trying to attract new industry or the information that might be, you know, useful to existing industries that might want to expand. So we had these two small government grants, but these are ones completed, and the other one, as I mentioned, will no longer be coming to us after 1982. I think perhaps the most significant thing to help us achieve our goals in terms of enabling us to maintain our programs is that with these grant monies that we received from the state that I referred to earlier, we did acquire the former Struthers Works of Youngstown Sheet and Tube in April of 1980. And simultaneously with that, we leased space to the Youngstown Steel Corporation, which reactivated the former spike mill down in the industrial park, and we embarked on a program of trying to find funds to redevelop, retrofit those buildings, if you'll permit that term, to attract new industry and make various site improvements. Now, we have one tenant that I've referred to, Youngstown Steel. We are now deriving lease income from that tenant. Those funds will assist Castle with its operations. Since that time, we have entered into a couple small short-term leases and another lease that will supplement our income. Now, it's our objective to use that income, you know, most important, I suppose, to maintain our existing operations, but there will be a certain point in time when the money's that come in will be in excess of the monies that we need for administration and operation. Those excess monies will go into the additional development of the industrial park itself, or let's say a few years down the road, if we're successful in upgrading the industrial park to, in line with our goals for the industrial park, those excess monies may go into acquiring other sites in the Castle communities for industrial development as well, or other efforts that would promote the creation of jobs in the community.
So in effect, it creates a revolving loan kind of effect. If it's, if, you know, if you're going to...
Well, I suppose, not per se,
not,
I mean,
in
other words,
strict sense,
although one of the ways of, you know, there's always the possibility that we can look into in the future that, you know, as these excess monies are generated, maybe, you know, I had mentioned maybe we could acquire and develop additional sites, but, you know, another method of maybe assisting business development is perhaps setting up some sort of fund where we can provide assistance to you know, new and expanding businesses, whether that be a revolving loan fund or some other vehicle.
There also seems to be, at least the way, you know, going through the files and that really Caswell had to come out on its own initially because it was excluded basically from the Mahoning Valley Economic Development Committee when it first started. Hate to ask you a politically loaded question, but even though you weren't bored, the feeling that you got from being when you first came on board, did you get that sense of that there had been any kind of...
Well, I've heard rumors to the fact that there was friction, but I think that's overstated.
Well, you participate now. Right.
Ever since that I've been on board, relationship between MBEDC, as we call it, and Caswell has been one of cooperation and complementing of one another's efforts. We realize, for instance, that they have a much broader role being a regional economic development agency for two-county SMSA. They realize that we're trying to apply a concerted effort and, you know, just one small segment or what amounts to not even 7 or 8% of that SMSA. Now, we sort of have a mutual thing. By the way, I might mention that we have a couple individuals on our board of trustees. As a matter of fact, four individuals on our board of trustees that sit on both boards. We serve on a couple of their committees. They have people that serve on a couple of our committees. But I think more important than that is the day relationships. A lot of times we'll get calls here and somebody will say, well, I'm looking for a building with a 25-ton crane and I have to have a 200,000 square foot building. And I, unfortunately, I have to say, well, we don't have anything like that that can accommodate you, but I'll be glad to put you in touch with the Mahoning Valley Economic Development Corporation, which has inventory of all industrial buildings and sites in the two counties, and we refer them to them. There's a lot of time, though, when, you know, a firm that we're dealing with, well, I can even cite two instances, firms that we've been dealing with needed some financial assistance, and we've referred them to Mahoning Valley Economic Development Corporation, well, three instances, and, you know, the revolving loan fund of that organization has provided assistance to them. A lot of times, you know, somebody will go to MBEDC first, and they have a complete list of what we have to offer here in the way of building and sites, and many times they'll bring prospects down to our industrial park, and I can give you one, for instance, here where they brought an industrial prospect to us, and pleased to announce that we were able to sign a lease agreement with them, and as a result of this agreement, at least for the time being, it's created not quite 50 jobs, with prospects of creating many more jobs than that in the within the next couple of years. So I think you heard a lot of stories back in 1977, 1978, after the shutdown, how everybody, you know, wanted to get in there and be recognized as the leader. Well, you know, maybe to a certain extent that was true, but I think some of these organizations, economic development related organizations, or most of them, have matured, and they realize that, you know, the problem is severe in the Mahoning Valley, and the only way we're going to be able to resolve the problem and attack it is to join forces, do it within a spirit of cooperation, and let, you know, if an agency has a particular area of expertise, let them be out on front of it, and everybody else support them, or, you know, the other way around.
How is the, has the structure, the organizational structure changed from its inception through, let's say, like today? Has there been any, in other words, what components make up your...
Well, the key part of the Community Improvement Corporation, of course, is its decision-making body, which is the Caswell Board of Trustees. Now, I suppose two changes have occurred, one in terms of the number of communities that were represented initially, just the communities of Campbell, Struthers, and Lowellville. were represented. And it was, you know, determined that these three communities did have some vacant industrial buildings that could be used for maybe attract new industry. But vacant land in those three communities, especially Campbell and Struthers, was minimal. And in addition to trying to bring in new business and industry to existing buildings, one of the objectives was to bring in new industry that would have to have a new site in order of which to expand. And it was felt that the two townships that surrounded the three basic communities, Coitsville and Poland Township, did offer land, much of the land, which was suited for industrial development. So one change is that we expanded from three members to five members. As we were expanding, the size of the board also expanded. I believe the size of the original board was basically 11 people. As we added the two townships, it went up to 15. Just within the past 5 or 6 months, new legislation has come down through the Small Business Administration that provides for what they call these 503 local development corporations. And I think this is going to be the vehicle that what businesses are going to be looking to in the future for financial assistance in order that they can grow and expand, basically because of the result of the demise of some of the Economic Development Administration programs. And as a there's one requirement in there. I think it's a requirement. It's one thing, but that requires that your board must be at least 25 individuals. So to in an attempt to meet that requirement, we have expanded our board from 15 to 25. Now, I look at it, you met the requirement, but I think this has enabled us to bring on our board of trustees many more individuals that are concerned in turning this area around, and many, people with a lot of expertise that can help us, do a better job at meeting our goals and objectives.
Okay, you mentioned the governing board. Now, what groups are represented on your board?
Well, the code of regulations pretty much establish who's on the board. Now, there are three different categories. First of all, there's public sector representatives. That includes the mayors of the three municipalities and a representative from the councils of the three municipalities. It also includes a township trustee from each one of the two townships, so that's eight right there. The code then provides for private sector representatives from the Caslow communities, based primarily on population, but not necessarily. The cities of Campbell and Struthers are provided with two private sector representatives, which could be businessmen or entrepreneurs representing or actually residing or having a business in their community. And the remaining three communities each have one private sector representative. Then, now that adds up to 15. Now then, with our recent change of our board structure, we added a third category, which is essentially an at-large group. And this could be any individual, public or private, that might be interested in the economic growth of the Capsule communities. Now, we do not have a requirement that they must reside in the Capsule communities, although I probably should point out that I think in that at-large group, I think six or perhaps seven out of the 10 in that category either reside or have businesses in the Caslow communities. But we feel that whether you live in Austintown or Boardman or Youngstown or what have you, we're not that parochial that we don't feel that we can't draw upon the help and advice and guidance from somebody outside the community that still is interested in this community as a part of the overall community and turning it around.
You mentioned the governing board. Is there any other, do they have subcommittees or?
Yes, there are several. We have, of course, as most organizations do, have an executive committee, which is comprised of essentially your officers of the corporation. This group meets periodically and more or less reviews and deal all the principal items of business which become before the full board and usually have a recommendation on that. But perhaps one of the committees that's received a considerable amount of attention, especially within the past year or so, is we've created what we call an Industrial Park Management Committee. Now, this committee consists of six people right now that have been working with the staff and a consultant that's formulating a 5-year development plan for our industrial park. In this 5-year development plan, we're establishing priorities for, which improvement to the industrial park should be made first, whether they're site improvements or building improvements, and that's involved a considerable amount of study. We do have other committees as well, a nominations and personnel committee, which performs, traditional functions along those lines. We have a finance committee that advises relative to budgetary matters. We have a program committee that meets periodically to evaluate what areas we're into, should we be getting into, new areas of development? What should they be? Now, the Caslow project, now, aside from the Community Improvement Corporation, does have a committee, too, and that's called the Caslow Building and Sites Committee. And their objective is to provide data on the buildings at the Caslow Industrial Park. But not only that, but as much data as possible on other industrial sites and buildings in the Caslow community. So if an industrial prospect does come in to the area, that he can have considerable amount of information at his fingertips on the not only the Caslow Industrial Park, but anything he might want to know to help him make a decision as to perhaps doing business in these communities. And for instance, the handout you have in front of you, and I'll give you some other literature before you leave, are products of the Caslow Building and Sites Committee.
Are the Community Improvement Corporation and the project, they have pretty integrated, in other words, there are people who serve on, those committees serve on your community improvement?
Well, you have what they call a general policy board for the Caslow project, which in a sense is somewhat inactive because, most of the day-to-day business and that kind of thing, the programs for future development are pretty much through the CIC. Now, the individuals are essentially the same. There's no point meeting twice. Again, you have to go back, I think, to the original purpose of the Caslow project, which was to assist the COIC with its organization and its development of programs. Now, my guess would be that in a minimum of, let's say, 7 or 8 months, and in a maximum of 20 months, the Caslow project will probably phase out. And the reason for that will be that the Community Improvement Corporation will be essentially self-sufficient.
What is the process of industrial, say somebody from some industry comes in and says, I want to either expand my facility or I want to, create a job situation within the Caslow community. What process do they go through?
Well, I suppose we can categorize them in maybe three groups. First of all, We're looking to see if they're going to expand or do business within the Castle communities. If they are not, we generally refer them to somebody else that might be able to help them, whether it be the Mahoney County Community Improvement Corporation or the Mahoney Valley Economic Development Corporation or, you know, someone like that. Now, if they're an existing business that would like to expand and they are interested in expanding in one of the five Castle communities, but not necessarily the Castle Industrial Park, we, as I have mentioned, are in the process of trying to become an SBA 503 local development company where we can provide them with some financial assistance. In the meantime, until we have that designation, we can help them package together you know, other forms of assistance that might be available through state or local organizations, be they industrial development bonds, low-interest loans through the Ohio Development Financing Commission, or even, you know, working with the Mahoney Valley Economic Development Corporation to take advantage of their revolving loan fund. Then I suppose the third or the final category are those that we try to lure into our industrial park and make that industrial park a future home for them. We look at that industrial park and in studying some of the past employment figures, we realized that I think perhaps aside from war years when things were really perhaps unusually at their peaks, and I guess I'm referring to World War I, and since we go back that far in terms of the age of those buildings and World War II, but I think that peak employment years, as best we can determine, for the Struthers Works was back around the middle to late 1940s when there were maybe 1,200 to 1,400 people employed down there. Now, of course, that was all one company at that time, and we're going to few buildings have over the years have been demolished and so forth, but we feel that if we properly develop that park that and go about it the right way, that at least initially that park could accommodate at least as many as 1,000 jobs, and perhaps even more than that if we're able to develop some of the vacant land portion of the park, you know, which is east of its existing buildings.
What kind of is there a particular types of industries or whatever that you're looking to place within the park?
Well, I suppose two qualifications. Number one, we're not really particular as long as this is an employment intensive type of industry. In other words, we want as many jobs per square foot as we can, and we have a tendency to try to lure in what we call industrial or basically manufacturing jobs, because these kinds of jobs create what they call this multiplier effect that causes spin-off, and that more jobs are also created in the retail, service, and you know, other sectors. But we're also, I suppose, in line with what I initially said, we're a little bit particular sometime. We've had, for instance, a few instances where people have come to us and said, well, I'd like to rent, let's say, Building A. And we'd say, well, what do you have in mind for it? Well, it's a nice, let's say, 50,000 square foot building. It would sure as heck make a nice warehouse for my company. How many jobs are you going to create? Oh, maybe 4 or 5. We're not interested, okay? We'll hold on to that. Opt for the day when perhaps somebody, you know, might say, well, gee, this would be an excellent facility for my whatever it is operation. I propose to put 75 people to work in this building. So
if somebody came in and said, well, I'll take the remaining space, whatever that happens to be, and, you know, create 1,500 jobs, you're trying to stay away from that, or?
Well, I have the ideal of what would happen.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of places, wherever you go, you always hear, I hear these statistics repeatedly throughout the valleys. Somebody's always saying, well, you know, it's nice to go after that big company, but approximately 80% of the jobs are associated with small businesses that are in the process of going through existing expansions. So, or if they're not going through expansions, you know, it's just small new companies that are trying to get started. So, you know, it'd be nice for that big employer to come walking through your door, and we'd hope that might happen someday, but, you know, that might be a little bit too idealistic, and I think our best bet is to work with smaller or moderate-sized firms.
Well, what I was getting at was, is there a kind of leeriness about, you know, going into something like having the sheet and tube kind of industry in place and going through that whole, possibly going through that somewhere down the line of, you know, layoffs and causing, you know, hitting these communities all at once again like that happened, you know, previously?
Well, you know, I would think probably, you know, generally speaking, not only as it applies to the industrial park, but, you know, the entire valley, of course, we'll be satisfied with anything that we can get, but I think it would be to our advantage to try to diversify as much as possible. So if any one particular segment of industry in the community would fall upon hard times, and if it you know, would choose to close or move out of the area, we wouldn't experience the drastic impacts that we're now experiencing.
I believe you mentioned it's 503 that you were applying for. Could you kind of expand on that? What does that really mean? I mean, how does that function as far as it?
Well, what it amounts to is, again, the reason why we're going after it is that when President Reagan administration came on board, they announced many cutbacks in programs. And one of the programs that at least we're working with where assistance was available to the Economic Development Administration. This is apparently going to be down drain, or I guess there may be some funds in fiscal 82, but after that probably no more. And we felt that you know, it provides for assistance basically for the smaller industries, anybody that might be going after a loan of say $500,000 or
I mean,
or less.
Are the dimensions like loan guarantees, or are they, what kind of, what makes it desirable? I mean, given the fact that EDA may be just about through, what is in this particular status that will help you do what you're doing currently? I mean, are there specific items that, like loan guarantees or anything that helps you financially as far
well,
as
well, this what it amounts to is, you know, debentures, sell of debentures, which would be used as loans. Now, it can't be right out front, but what it can do is you can take maybe if you get, each owner would have to put up maybe, 10% on his own. He could have to go to some other source, probably, you know, a private bank, and then maybe 50% from the bank, and then, you know, the balance would be through this particular program at a lower interest rate, but by marrying, you know, the two, he's going to get a better rate than, you know, what he would get quoted from some bank, which would be a very high, of course, it's going down, but, you know, a high prime rate. But it's sort of a, you know, realizing that times are tough in terms of dealing with the banks and the private investors is providing another source back through the government that can enable expanding businesses to take advantage of lower rates and give them an effective lower rate overall.
Is there anything that, in the process we've been talking here, that I probably should have asked you, but I didn't, that you a point maybe that's important to you that should be said that I didn't cover?
Well, I think we sort of touched upon it. I suppose anything that's disturbing, a lot of times, again, you talk about, you know, some of the agencies in the area that are involved in economic development. And then you have, you know, this valley is made up of several different communities. And, you know, we've been talking today about the problems that affect you know, Campbell, Struthers, and Lowellville. The other end, you know, the village of McDonald and the communities around that have experienced a lot of problems, as has the central city itself, Youngstown. And I suppose that sometimes, you know, this area, and by the area, you know, whether you want to call it Mahoning and Trumbull counties, or even go a little bit beyond the borders, because our neighbors in Columbiana County and Lawrence and Mercer County, Pennsylvania, have fallen on some pretty hard economic times as well. And I think whatever existing organizations we have, we should be working together. A lot of times I'm turned off by some of the parochial efforts that I see, you know, and I even see it within our own organization. Well, you know, Castle Industrial Park's located in the city of Struthers. Well, what are you doing for Lowellville or something like that? Well, you know, you know, maybe Struthers is would be getting all the tax benefits, but, you know, some of these employees are going to live in Lowellville. There's going to be a point in time, let's say when the industrial park develops to a certain extent, it can no longer accommodate any more businesses, but there might be other businesses that want to come into the area to be close or nearby certain facilities, and they're going to be going into these neighboring communities. And then you take, for instance, the thing that I always point to, you know, frequently, you know, this area was very indeed fortunate, although with the automobile industry is receiving and going through some tough times now, but it was indeed fortunate back in 1966 when General Motors built the Lordstown plant and put that in operation. Now that's, you know, sitting probably about 22 miles from where we're sitting right now. But, you know, people are mobile today. You know, it's that plant sitting way out there has had it's been very good to the economic health of this valley. And, you know, if we're bringing in a small business to the community, whether it's going to be located in Struthers or Girard or Hubbard or Canfield or Youngstown or Warren or what have you, who cares? Let's get it in here to the valley, because we're all we're all gonna benefit as a result. So I think, again, if I've got anything to say, economic development is going to require cooperation and working together, and through you know, just getting away from some of the petty stuff, some of the parochial stuff, we're all going to stand to benefit.
Thank you very much for taking the time to let me interview you this morning.
Oh, that's quite all right, Phil.
Thanks.
Is it on?
Yeah.
I just simply state that I neglected to point out that Caslo is a nonprofit community improvement corporation. And any income that we generate over and above our expenses would be put back into economic and industrial development efforts. And perhaps for finding out a little bit more specifics as to what nonprofit community improvement corporations get involved with, the Section 1724 of the Ohio Revised Code should be reviewed.
Okay, thank you.